And all God's people said, Amen. He's alive. The grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. Satan couldn't hold him. He is alive. I hope you know he's alive today because you've talked to him this morning and he's made himself known to you. What an awesome God we serve. We're going to continue in our series, Better Together. We've been looking at some of the one another passages in the Bible, and today we're going to be looking at accept one another. It comes from the book of Romans. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message, and I'm going to ask all that are able to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself. But it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Now, this matter of Christian acceptance and fellowship and grace is so amazing that the angels wonder in awe over it. Notice here what it says in Ephesians 3, 9 and 10. My task is to bring out in the open and make plain what God, who created all of this in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. Through followers of Jesus like yourself, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. And St. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 1 and 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that they have now been told by you, those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. Let us pray. Gracious God, I pray, Lord, today that the Holy Spirit would take the written Word of God as it is preached and it would become alive, alive to our spirit, to our soul, to our inner being, that God, that we would recognize what it means to be accepted by you and what it means for us to extend acceptance to others. Speak to us now, God, through your word. We make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The last passage that I read there said, even the angels long to look into this. That word there, long to, is an interesting word. It literally means to stand on your tiptoes. If you can imagine in heaven, and there's a crowd there in heaven, if the angels are standing on their tiptoes looking in to see how Christian people have received the grace of God, how they share the grace of God, the angels long to look into that. You see, the angels have no idea about grace. They have no idea about mercy because they have never experienced the grace of God. Today I want to talk to you about accepting one another. Our world needs to see what we're going to talk about today lived out in front of them more so than that any time in my lifetime. America is more divided at this time than any time I can remember. And we're divided about everything. We're divided, Republicans and Democrats. Blue states, red states. We're divided between a wall and open borders. We're divided over gun control. We're divided over when does life start? When does life end? We're divided over abortion. We're divided over marriage. Who can get married and what makes marriage? We're divided in America even over something as simple as the national anthem. Do you stand or not stand? Do you kneel? Do you not kneel? I mean, America is divided. And what America needs to see is a church united because our world is divided. Did you know on every coin and every dollar bill, there's a Latin phrase, e pluribus unum. Out of the many, one. I wish I could say today that you and I live in the United States of America. But I'm afraid we live in the divided states of America. Out of the many, we are no longer one. But we're divided up into this tribe and this group and that group. And our world needs to see that when it comes to the body of Jesus Christ, out of many, we are one. Why is that? Because we've been accepted by God, and we are an accepting group of people. So today I want to ask and answer a couple of questions. The first one is, what is it that you and I are to do? I want you to look at our focal passage, which is Romans 15:7. And I pulled out this verse in three different translations. And I want you to underline the word as it is translated different. In the King James Version, verse 7, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. The English Standard Version says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. The New International Version says, accept one another then as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Now, how is it that there's the same word is translated three different ways? The word there is a compound word, paralabano. And it's an interesting word. It means to lay hold of, to catch, or to embrace. Do you see how that comes in? That's what we really should do when we welcome somebody, when we accept somebody, when we receive somebody. We should seize the opportunity. Take hold of that person. Catch that person. Embrace that person. That is what God is asking us to do. As a matter of fact, right before Jesus was crucified, he spoke to his disciples about going to prepare a place. And he uses the same word. Notice here in John 14:3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Circle that word receive. It's the same word as accept. Jesus said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And when I come, I'm going to accept you. I'm going to welcome you. I'm going to receive you. 47 years ago, I committed my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Jesus started building me and preparing me a place. And one of these days, it's going to be ready. And he's going to send an angel to come down. And I'm going to be transported into the presence of God, and God is going to welcome me. God is going to receive me. God is going to accept me into His presence. What does that look like to you? Huh? How do you envision that's going to be? And that is exactly what God is saying, how we should treat each other. Just how Jesus is going to welcome you home. That's how we're to welcome, accept, and to receive one another. Now, the opposite of this is rejection or exclusion. And I'm so sad to say that we live in a world today where it seems like everything and everybody is excluded in some way, but not with God. Notice here what Jesus said in John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Randy, that means no matter what you've done, it means no matter where you've been, God will not cast you out. God will not reject you. He's going to welcome you. He's going to receive you. He is going to accept you. You see, so many times the devil makes us think, I've done too much. I've gone too far. I've been too bad. And the truth is, it's not so with God. I will in no wise cast you out. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 13:5 says it this way, God hath said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You see, the opposite of accepting people is to reject and forsake them. And we have a God in heaven who says, I will never forsake you. I will never reject you. Now, some people may, and they may even do it in the name of God, but it's not of God. I'm reminded of this fellow. He was out standing on a bridge, and he's going to jump off and commit suicide. And this fellow saw what was happening, and he hollered and said, Hey, don't jump, don't jump. It's not worth it. And the guy on the bridge says, well, nobody loves me. I have no reason to live. And he said, God loves you. And the guy paused. And the man said to him, you do believe in God? He said, yes, I do. Jew or Christian? He said, Christian. And the guy said, me too. He said, Catholic or Protestant? He said, Protestant. The guy said, me too. He said, Baptist or Methodist? He said, well, I'm Baptist. He said, me too. Independent or Southern Baptist? The guy on the bridge says, Southern Baptist. The guy said, me too. He said, are you a once saved, always saved Baptist, or do you believe you can lose your salvation? He said, I'm a once saved, always saved. He said, me too. He said, do you believe in the bodily resurrection? He says, I do. He said, me too. He said, do you believe it's the King James Version or a modern version? He said, modern version. He said, oh, I knew you was a heretic, and he pushed him in. Now, what is the point of the story? The point of the story is that it's so easy for us to divide up into this camp, into that camp, into this tribe, into that tribe, and to say, oh, I'm more spiritual than this group over here. But did you see the passage started off by saying, those of you that are strong ought to accept those that are weak. Those of you that are spiritual should accept those that are not so spiritual. So what is it that we're to do? We're to accept, to welcome, to receive one another. All right, well, who am I supposed to do that for? Can I limit it? Can I narrow it down? Well, let's look. Number one, we're to accept believers. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. All right, I'm going to accept you. Why? Because God's accepted me. If God's accepted me, that makes me a believer in Jesus Christ. And so I'm to accept one another. I'm to accept other believers. Now, friend, God asks for unity inside the body of Christ. He does not ask for uniformity. You don't have to dress like me, talk like me, act like me. But what you need to do is you need to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior like me. Someone has said it this way, in essentials we have unity, in non-essentials we have liberty, and in all things we have charity. But sometimes, some people who name Jesus as their Savior are not very charitable. I'm reminded of the Navy that was going down in the Pacific Ocean, and they were going by some uncharted islands, uninhabited islands, and they saw smoke going up. And so they pulled off and said, "What is this? Nobody should be on this island." And when they pulled up, there's a man ran out on the beach and said, "Oh, I am so glad you have come. I have been shipwrecked and cast away on this island for 5 years. I haven't seen or talked to another human being in 5 years." The captain of the ship was scratching his head and he says, "Well, I see three huts here. If you're the only one here, why are there three huts?" Hut said, "Oh, that's easy." He said, "This first hut here is the one that I live in. And then the second hut, that's where I go to church." And he said, "All right, what's the third hut? He said, "Oh, that's where I used to go to church." Now remember, he's the only guy on the island. That's bad when you get mad at yourself and can't go to church with yourself, huh? So you have to go to another church. Okay? We're to accept other believers. But secondly, I believe that when it says accept one another, that includes accepting people that are far from God. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three parables that are all teaching the same lesson. The parable of the lost sheep, where there's 99 and one is lost and he goes out and finds it. And then the 10 lost coins that the widow has, and she goes and she finds the one coin. But probably the most famous of them all is the lost son, the prodigal son. Now notice here, before Jesus tells any of these parables, Luke introduces who he's talking to. Notice here in verse 1 and 2. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. I would say that's people far from God, right? But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." What did we say that word accept can also mean? Welcome or receive. What is Jesus doing? He is receiving. He is welcoming. He is eating. That is, he's breaking bread and having fellowship with sinners and tax collectors. That is, people that are far from God. Jesus welcomed them and accepted them. Friend, I believe everybody that walks through those doors back there that have come in to find God, every single one of them ought to be welcomed and accepted and received. Because that's what Jesus would do if he was here. But notice here, if there's any doubt about this, in verse 20, "So he got up," that's the prodigal son, "and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him." Did you notice that the scripture says there, when he was far from him? When he was far from him, what happened? The father was looking at him when he was far from him. And so I believe that it teaches us that we are to accept people and receive them and welcome people just like Jesus would. He's in heaven now, but Barry Hovis was a big old strapping guy. And I had the privilege to lead Barry and his whole family to the Lord and baptize the whole family at one time. And afterwards, I was talking to Barry and he said, "You know, preacher, one of the things that attracted me to this church, it says, I have a son who has physical handicap and disability." And he said, "The first time I came to Anthony Grove, standing there at the front door handing out bulletins was Jimmy Kester." For those of you who don't know, Jimmy's in heaven now, but Jimmy, as a teenage boy, was in a hunting accident when his cousin accidentally shot him in the head with a shotgun when he fell over a barbed wire fence. And so Jimmy had a speech problem, and he had a motor skills problem. But here's what Barry says. He says, it impressed me that here's a guy with a disability. Here's a guy with a handicap, and you put him out there in front. He said, most churches would put him back there in the back so nobody could see him. He said, but when I came there and I saw this kind of person at the front door, he said, that's an accepting place. That's a welcoming place. I want to be a part of something like that. And friend, I want you to know there's a lost and dying world out there that is looking for a place where they can be welcome and accepted and received no matter what kind of handicap they may have in life. All right, so that answers the who. Now the how. Well, let's decide how we're going to do this. Well, I got bad news. You don't get to decide how. God's already told us how. Yeah. Notice here, we're to offer acceptance on the basis of grace. Romans 15:7. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Why did God receive you? Why did God accept you? Why did God welcome you? It was because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What the choir just sang about, what the trio just sang about, the blood of Jesus Christ up there on that cross, it is the grace of God that makes you acceptable. Not anything you have done. And so that is the basis for how we are accepted with God. That is the same basis of how we accept other people. We accept others by the grace of God, not by their merit. Let's hear what it says in Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We come to God by the grace of God. We accept one another by the grace of God. Now let me just say this to you. The person that you welcome, the person you receive, the person that you embrace, that person may be the very person that turns around and makes a difference in your life down the road. I'm going to tell you an amazing true story about a young boy by the name of Conrad Rudin. Conrad Rudin was a hyper-energetic little boy that couldn't sit still. He was all the time jumping and climbing and roaming. His mama couldn't do anything with him. And so she decided to enroll him in some sports, see if she couldn't burn off some of that energy. Well, one day, when Conrad was 11 years old, at his school, a famous athlete showed up to speak to them. This famous athlete was Rod Carew, 18-time All-Star in Major League Baseball. He was Rookie of the Year. 7 times he was the batting leader in Major League Baseball. And here is Rod Carew speaking to these little kids. Well, to Conrad, he was just mesmerized. He couldn't believe it. The great Rod Carew from the Los Angeles Angels was at his school. And when his mom came to pick him up, all he could talk about was Rod Carew. Rod Carew. Oh, he's inspired me, Mom. I want to be like him. One of these days, I'm going to be a pro athlete just like he was. Conrad went on to start at Notre Dame and later was a starter for Sanford and then was drafted by the New York Jets. And had a stellar first year. In the second year of his career, he had a serious knee injury that many people thought would sideline him for good. But he was determined, no, I'm going to work myself back to health. I'm going to get back out there on the ball field, and I'm going to show them. Well, he's in the gym, and he's working out, and he's working out. Every week, he's working out to be as strong as he could be. And he's working out one day, and all of a sudden, he has a pain back behind his right eye and falls out in the floor. They call 911. They take him to the hospital. He's got a brain aneurysm. Later that day, he died. A couple of weeks before that, when he got his driver's license renewed, he marked off, "I'll be an organ donor." And his mother said to the organ donation people, "I want to meet whoever it is that's going to receive my son's heart. And whoever it is, they need to deserve it because they're getting a really, really good heart." Well, they go over there and they go to the top of the list. And by the providence of God, the guy at the top of the list waiting on a heart transplant was Rod Carew. Rod Carew received Conrad's heart and it got an extension on life. I tell you that story because, you see, it was Rod that had inspired Conrad, and then it was his inspiration that turned around, saved Rod's own life. You see, the person you welcome, the person you accept, the person you receive may be the very person that will turn around and save your life down the road, because they will receive you and accept you and will welcome you. How should we do it? We should do it on the basis of grace. Number two, Jesus accepts us without hesitation. So we should accept and welcome and receive one another without hesitation. Going back to the prodigal son in Luke 15:22, "But the father said to his servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet.'" You see what the gracious father said? He said, "Quick, let's do it now." He didn't say, "Hey, wait a minute, son. You've been bad. You've messed up. You wasted your inheritance. You've lived an evil, wicked life. I'm going to put you in time out for a while. We're going to put you on probation for 6 months just to make sure that you're serious about this repenting thing." What did he do? Quickly, immediately, right then, he accepted him. He welcomed him. He received him. How are we supposed to do it? We're supposed to do it immediately. I remember there used to be a time in Sunday school that you had to come to a class 3 times in a row before you could join that Sunday school class. And the reason was, we don't want anybody on our rolls that's going to mess up our percentages. Well, I just can't imagine Jesus saying, "Well, if you come back 3 more weeks, we'll welcome you." No, you do it immediately. I'm reminded of this big, fancy, uptown church. And they had this poor woman come in. And during the invitation, she got Albert Hughes. She went down there and took the pastor by the hand and said, "Pastor, I'd like to be baptized and be a member of this church." Well, she wasn't dressed very good. She didn't smell very good. And he's thinking, "Oh gosh, what am I going to do? I don't know that this church wants this kind of a person." And so he says to this woman, "Well, I tell you what you do. You go home and pray about it for a week." Well, she went home and prayed about it for a week. The next Sunday, she showed up at church. Invitation, she walked back down the aisle. She took the pastor by the hand and said, "Pastor, I prayed about it, and I want to be baptized and be a part of this church." He said, "Ma'am," he said, "well, I'm glad you prayed about it. I'm glad you're back. But I believe you need to pray about it some more. I want you to pray some more, and then we'll see what God says." Well, the next week, she didn't show up. And one day, he ran into her at Walmart. And he said, "Hey, how you doing? I've been listening to you at church." And she says, "Well, I'm not coming back." He says, "You're not? Why is that?" She says, "Well, I prayed about it like you told me to. And God told me not to worry about being baptized and becoming a member of your church." And the fellow said, "Oh, yeah? Well, why would God say that?" He said, "Well, God told me he'd been trying to get inside that church for years. And if he couldn't get in, then I shouldn't worry about it." Now, folks, what I'm telling you is the honest truth. Every once in a while, I have a good intention person come by and say, now, preacher, we shouldn't just let anybody walk down that aisle and say a couple of words and be a part of the church. I think they ought to have to go to a class. I think they ought to have to learn certain things. They ought to have to do this. I said, listen, God has one condition, and that is you trust Jesus Christ. God doesn't put all this other stuff on them. God doesn't put other barriers in the way, and we as a church are not going to put barriers in front of people coming to God. I believe you show up the first time, the Spirit of God can move on you. You can walk down an aisle, and God can change you right like that. That's all it takes. Jesus accepts us what? Without hesitation. And then notice next, number three, Jesus accepts us without prejudice. Acts 10, verse 34. Peter fairly exploded with his good news. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God plays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as He says, the door is open. God doesn't show partiality. You say, God doesn't care if you're rich or poor. God doesn't care if you're black or white. God doesn't care if you're American or Mexican. God doesn't care if you're educated or uneducated. God does not show partiality. God shows no prejudice. No matter where you've been, what you've done, who you are, all are welcome at God's table. Years ago, I got up to preach and I looked out there and there was a pulpit committee. You can always spot them. There are five guys sitting by together, no women, and all of them had suits on. Now, a lot of times, the pulpit committee shows up because the pastor's trying to move. I wasn't trying to move. I didn't have a resume. I didn't know who these people are. Most of the time, you're trying to move, Pastor King, trying to move, send out a resume. The pulpit committee will call you on Saturday and say, we're coming to church on Sunday. They didn't call me. I didn't have a resume. I wasn't trying to move. I didn't know who these people were. But I know this, it upset my church. I had one little old woman come over and start shaking her hand and say, if you're here to worship my Jesus, you're welcome. If you're here to steal my preacher, you can get up and leave now. It upset my church. Well, anyhow, I just preached and afterwards they just left. I didn't know who they were, didn't know where they come from, didn't know what they wanted. 3 weeks later, they have the same five guys with another fellow. They six of them in suits now. And I, oh my. What's this all about? After church, they came up to me and said, Pastor, God has told us you're to be our next preacher. I said, well, he hadn't told me. We need to talk about this. And so after church, we sat down and we talked and they began to tell me about the church and what they believed that God had told them to do. And they made a reference to, well, our church, and by the way, the name of it was Calvary, said our church is right near a set of railroad tracks. I don't know what it is about railroad tracks. But anyhow, right beside a set of railroad tracks, and it says, the black folks live on this side of the railroad track, and the white folks live on this side of the railroad track. And I said, really? Well, how many people of color do you have in your congregation? He said, oh, we don't have any black folks in our congregation. He says, years ago, when they were out riding in the street, we made a decision. If they wanted to come, we would let them, but we wasn't going to invite them. And I looked at him and I said, you got the wrong man. Because, you see, I'm going to go anywhere, anytime, any place to anybody and say, come to the house of God. Come to Jesus. And when you come, you're going to be accepted. You're going to be welcomed. And you're going to be received. And folks, if we can't go out there and ask anybody anytime, knowing that when they come, they're going to be accepted, then it doesn't please God, no matter what else you do. Number four, Jesus accepts us without merit. Jesus doesn't accept you because you give, because you read your Bible, because you pray, because you put on a suit, because you comb your hair a certain way. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Folks, there's a whole world outside of these four walls that are just looking for somebody that loves them and cares about them. You would not believe how many famous, wealthy people don't know what it means to be loved unconditionally, to be accepted and to be welcomed. I'll give you two examples. Madonna was interviewed by Vogue magazine. At the time, she was worth $325 million. And here's what she said. She says, "According to the world, I am now somebody." She said, "But my whole life I have struggled. Am I really somebody? And I'll probably have that struggle the rest of my life." You know, I want to jump inside the TV screen and say, "Madonna, you can have it right now. All you have to do is come to Jesus Christ and you can be loved and accepted and welcomed just like you are." One more example. Oprah Winfrey, one of the richest women in the world. Here's what Oprah said. Oprah says, "Most of my life I have felt like I am not worthy to be loved. I have never felt that I was loved just for being." You understand what she was saying? She's saying she never felt loved just because she was a human being. You know, I want to take Oprah and I say, "Listen, God made you. Jesus died for you. You are loved. You have been loved. And He loves you with an everlasting love." And we live in a world today that folks think you have to earn or deserve. You have to do something to be loved. Folks, you don't have to do something to be accepted by God. You don't have to do anything to be welcomed by God. It's not on your merit. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died. We get no credit, no merit. And if that's how God accepts us, isn't that how we should accept other people? They don't have to work for it. They don't have to deserve it. They don't have to merit it. We just accept them and welcome them and receive them. And then number five, Jesus accepts us with open arms. In Psalm 5:11, "But you'll welcome us with open arms when we run for cover to you." When you and I make that first step of faith, God runs to us with open arms. That gracious Father, when He saw His Son a long way off, what did He do? He ran to Him. And when He got there, what did He do? He grabbed Him and He embraced Him. Remember what we say that word accept means? It means to take hold of, to catch, to embrace. That's what God does for us. And that's what we're to do for other people. Welcome them with open arms. Dr. Chaddick is a homiletics professor at Emory University. Homiletics is the science of preaching. That's where you go and they're supposed to teach you how to preach. He had been invited to Winnipeg, Canada to do a conference on preaching. He landed at the airport, checked into his room. During the night, it snowed 3 feet of snow. The guy who was hosting the conference called him and says, "Well, we've had to cancel because of the weather." Well, Chaddick says, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" And he said, "Well, there's a deli next door. Just go over there and get you a bowl of soup and just hang out." So Dr. Chaddick goes over there. He's got him a bowl of soup. And he's sitting there eating it. And he said a homeless woman comes in and sits down. Said a guy from back in the kitchen came out with an apron and a spoon. And he walked up to this homeless woman and said, "What do you want?" She said, "Can I have a glass of water?" He went and got her a glass of water, set it down. He said, "Now what do you want?" She said, "That's all." He said, "No, don't you see this restaurant is full of people? You just can't come in here and take up a place. You've got to order something." She said, "Can I just stay in here and get warm?" He says, "No, get out of here now." And she started to make her way to the door, and Dr. Chaddick said he noticed the customers all starting to get up and to leave. And the guy in the apron realized what was going along, and he said, No, it's okay, you come on in, you sit back down." And when she came and sat back down, all the customers sat back down. And he actually went back there in the kitchen and got her a free bowl of soup and gave it to her. The guy that was sitting at the table with Dr. Chaddick had got up and had come back and he looked at him and he says to him, he says, "Who is that woman?" He says, "I don't know. I've never seen her in my life." He said, "Well, why did you get up to leave?" I love what he said. He said, "I got up to leave because if she's not welcome, I'm not welcome." And friend, I believe when a church gets to a place when they say, "We're not going to accept this kind, we're not going to welcome this kind, we're not going to love this kind," I believe God writes Ichabod over the door and God says, "If you won't accept them, then I'm not going to accept you." Number six, Jesus accepts us with great joy. Philippians 2:29, "Welcome him in the Lord with great joy." When the prodigal came home, what did the father do? He threw a great big party. He said, "Kill the fatted calf. Hey, we're going to have a barbecue. We're going to have a picnic. We're going to have a cookout." And they got happy. They started playing music and they began to celebrate. How should we accept people? We should accept them with great joy. The Bible says there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. All right, so we've looked at the what, the who, the how. Now I want to close by the why. Why should we do that? Why should we accept one another? Number one, it glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ when we accept one another. Verse 6, "So that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." When people walk through those doors and we receive them and welcome them and we love on them and show them grace, you know what that does? That glorifies Jesus Christ. The world says, "How can you do that when there's so much differences among you?" We say, "It's all because of Jesus." Listen, the world is watching and they're looking for answers and they're looking at the church. They're looking to see how we treat one another if we are any different than the world. And sometimes we are and sometimes we're not. I'm reminded of these two small churches in a little small town, and they got together and they said, "Why don't we combine our church together and make one big church? We can reach more people, we can have more programs, we can be more effective." They said, "All right, that's a great idea." And so they started having meetings so that they could consolidate. But after a period of time went by, they realized they were not going to come to agreement. They were at an impassable divide. You know what it was over? The Lord's Prayer. You see, this church over here, when they recited the Lord's Prayer, said, "Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." This church over here, when they recited the Lord's Prayer, was, "Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors." And so they couldn't agree on the Lord's Prayer. So the local newspaper had a front page story. It says, "Churches cannot be united. The transgressors went back to their transgressions and the debtors went back to their debt." What an indictment on the church. God help us. And then lastly, when we accept and welcome and receive one another, it brings praises to God. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. In order to bring praise to God. Wheaton College, I believe that's where Billy Graham graduated from. It's a very conservative school. And years ago, it was even more so. But during the 60s and the 70s, some of us can remember the 60s and 70s when the hippie movement was going on. Yeah. And this had invaded the Wheaton College campus. Dr. Hudson Armadine was absolutely against it. He was one of these old school guys. He believed that a man's hair ought to be cut nice and close to his head. He had been in World War II. He was a veteran, and he couldn't stand these Vietnam protesters with their long hair and their beards and their shaggy dress, their beads. Well, it was time for chapel. Dr. Armadine was to speak in chapel. He's sitting up on the front row. Right about the time it's getting started, here comes one of these fellows in, bell-bottom pants, tank top, beads and flowers around his neck, his hair's about this long, he's barefooted with sandals on. I mean, he is hippie from head to toe. And there was no place to sit. He come up there and sit on the front row right beside of the president of the school. Everybody's eyes were really big. They said, oh gosh, Dr. Aberdeen's going to kick him out of the school right here in chapel. Came up there and sat beside of him, and Dr. Aberdeen, he was just fuming mad. It came time in the service to pray. The young man beside of him, the hippie, began to pray. Dear God, thank you for Dr. Aberdeen. Thank you for his passion for Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for his passion for your word. God, I pray that you would anoint him with your Holy Spirit as he stands up to break the bread of life in Jesus' name. Dr. Aberdeen got up and he got up there and he preached the word of God. And when he got through preaching, he stood out from the pulpit and he said, young man, come up here on this stage. Everybody thought, oh, he's going to lay into him right now. And that hippie came up off the front and he stood up there beside of him. And Dr. Aberdeen put his arms around him and embraced him and loved on him and welcomed him and accepted him. And the whole place stood up and applauded. People started weeping and crying. And the altar was full of people getting right with God because they had seen two people totally different accept one another in Jesus Christ. That is the power of the gospel in the life of his people. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. I'm wondering who is here today, and the Holy Spirit of God has tugged at your heart, and God is saying to you, step out of your seat, come to this altar, and invite me to come into your heart. God is saying, receive me into your heart and your life. God says if you will come, he will run. If you make the first step, God will run. And God will embrace you. And God will hug you. And God will love you. God will forgive you. And God will receive you. Maybe you're here today and you've had a bad experience. Maybe you have felt rejected. Maybe you have felt like nobody cared. I want you to know God cares. And I want you to know the people that love God, they care. If you're here today and you're looking for a place that you can be accepted and welcome and receive, we invite you to come unite with this fellowship. Be a part of this family. Help us to be a welcoming, receiving, and accepting fellowship. Maybe you know somebody. Maybe you know somebody that's hurting. Maybe you know somebody that needs acceptance and love. They're not here, but you come to this altar and you say, God, help them to experience what we have sung about and heard about today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would tug at our hearts. God, that we would receive your love and your grace. And that, God, that we would pass it on. Help us, God, to be an accepting, welcoming, receiving people that show the love of Jesus by our words and our actions. We'll make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you would please stand as we sing. We invite you to come.